gotta see it both ways. Let's run back the film. Only keep it real, player. Tell me how you feel. Knowledge is the key to the game of the skills. Champions of the world, highlights on the field. Ball in the air, make the world go round. Head in the game, never let it out of bounds. Stand for the truth, otherwise take a knee. Made it to the league, now we gotta take the lead.
What's going on, beautiful people? I'd like to be the first to welcome you in to the first ever installment of the Must Be Two Sides podcast. And I just want to thank you for being here with us today, man. I'm your host, Mycole Pruitt. This is my co-host, my best friend, Ahmad Hicks, man. And we just want to touch on just the two sides of every story. I'm coming from the athlete side. He's coming from the media side, and just kind of how these sides have been pitted against each other for years, man. Just been enemies for some reason. But
so long.
Me and my guy go back so far about 20 years at this point. Mm-hmm. I just want to iterate how we don't always have to be against each other. You know, sometimes we can agree.
Sometimes. Look at Cole. Let's give him a round of applause. The Cole trying to step into that journalism field, being a little anchor, you know, here. Look at you sounding smooth. You're getting good at this now, bro. Stay on my lane, though. Don't try to take my job or nothing.
Look,
bro.
Man. Everything's up for grabs. It's the new media these days, and we coming for it, brother.
We are. And so, like Cole was just talking about, so the name of our podcast must be Two Sides. And we basically go just talk about the two different sides, being a professional athlete and being a journalist. So, like, as my coach just said, we've known each other for the past 20 years, best friends, play high school football together, college football, and kind of been on this journey in our professional careers together as well. And I think it's only right if we take them back to 06 when we met one another. Like, you know, like growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, you kind of know everybody you're going to go to high school with. So when you get to high school and you see like this new kid that ain't been around, you're like, who is this? And I never forget this first day, like our principal came up to me and like, you know, when you play football at our school, Kirkwood, you kind of know everything about all the people in your grade and your class. And I'll never forget my principal, Mike Wade, came up to me and was like, we got this guy on the football team, never played football before. He's going to be a stud. And I was like, all right. I was like, I don't know who you're talking about. And then I saw Mycole. Bro, calves was like this big at 14 years old. I was like, oh, I was like, yeah. I was like, he looked like he going to be good. And from there on, I mean, the rest was history, bro.
Yeah, man. Them were fun times back in the day, bro. Just not a care in the world. Just freshman year of high school and raw as can be, and stepped on that football field. Just a little bit of background about me. I'm a 10-year NFL veteran. I've been around the league a few times, a bunch of teams. My most recent team last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I got a little bit of cachet in the league, and I've talked to some of these guys. I understand where they coming from. And my boy Ahmad here, a veteran in his own right in the media game. My man's been doing sports broadcasting for a long time. What you about 8 years in now, Mike?
Yeah, about 8-9 years. I got my first gig in 2016, right after we graduated in 15. So yeah, been in it since 16. So 9 years. It's a long time coming right now.
Beautiful, man. He on TV in Minnesota hosting and everything. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, bro.
Likewise, brother. You know, it's been fun for both of us, because I think if we go back to what our freshman year of college, I think I was at Missouri Western at the time. You was at SIU Carbondale. And I'll never forget, like, you know, back when Twitter was like popping, Twitter After Dark, you get on there, you say some crazy stuff. Like, you know, back then, we used to say unfiltered stuff on Twitter and not even think about the consequences.
We don't need to get into that
at all. But I think one story I'll never forget. It was like, man, it was like 2 a.m. And I remember this vividly, because like I was up tweeting like, man, I'm going to be on ESPN one day. That's the dream of mine. And you literally were like, yeah, you're going to be calling my highlights. And I'll never forget when I worked in St. Louis, you know, like got an opportunity to call your highlights, you know, put you on the news there. And then even here, you know, when I travel to Atlanta, when you played for the Falcons last year and got a chance to watch you in person and actually, you know, like be side by side as we're living out our dreams. That was so surreal, bro. Like, the fact, all the conversations we've had over the years about, making it and doing this and doing that and still staying connected like we've been since 2006. Yeah. Bro, it's really crazy, man. Like that we're actually here living out our dreams right now.
It's a beautiful thing, bro. Just two brothers really just doing it, bro.
Right. Like, right.
It's a lot of things in this society that can be pit up against us, especially in your profession. Guys that look like us don't usually make it as far. So just kind of talk about why you wanted to go into sports broadcasting and how that became something that piqued your interest.
You know, I always had a love for sports, bro. Like dating back to even before you met me, like I was doing everything as a kid. And, you know, we all had dreams growing up, like want to play in the National Football League, like want to be a professional athlete of some sort. But you know how my folks are, like they like, look, that's cool. Like you can dream big, but dream realistic. And they like, you know, if football is 1A, then something else got to be 1B. And so, you know, in high school, I started doing the broadcast announcement in the morning. You know, we were fortunate that Kirkwood had a teleprompter, green screen, like all that good stuff. And I just said, if I can't play ball the rest of my life or be on that professional stage, I want to be somewhere where I get paid to cover it. And honestly, you know, it's cutthroat. Like we'll talk about this in later episodes and whatnot. But like at the beginning of your journalism career, man, I remember making $28,000 in 2016, like no money at all. Like I remember calling Cole one time, like, bro, can you send me $100? Like, I need it. I'm down bad. And I remember you sent me $200. Like, just shows you how real you are. But like, yeah, so like this industry is like, you know, it's cutthroat, but it still gives me an opportunity to like not really call it work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to a football or a basketball game, you go for free, you watch the game for 3 hours. And then you interview an athlete after the game. Like, that's not really work for me. You know, like, that's something I enjoy doing, especially when you talk about football. So, yeah, so the goal of mine is still to get the ESPN or NFL Network, like Big Ten Network, some network of that sort. But right now I'm also enjoying the journey, you know, being in Minnesota, you know, making pretty good money for where I am right now, covering a ton of pro sports, get to travel a lot. So for me, it just gave me that gateway, that outlet, you know, to still be around the thing that I love, you know, even though I'm not getting physically beaten up like you are every single weekend, putting my body on the line anymore.
Yeah, bro. Look, man, I know from personal experience that Mama and Papa Hicks do not play.
No.
and that plan B came in the clutch, man. And you're doing well. And I got to give you flowers for that, brother.
Appreciate
it. I love it, man. And it ties in perfectly to what I got going on and what we got going on in the world, man. Just some of the things with the athlete and media relations have just been, the boiling point has been tipped.
Man,
I know you've been seeing some of these things that's been going on between Stephen A and LeBron and how that relationship has just come to a head and it all showed itself in a game. What was it, earlier this week or earlier last week?
It was late last week, yeah.
Late last week with LeBron came off the bench in the middle of the game and confronted Stephen A. Smith.
Crazy.
Talking about his son, bro. Like, how did we even get to this point? And who is in the right and who is in the wrong? And
I want to ask you, before we even go deeper into that, right?
Yeah,
say for instance, like, media members talk about professional athletes all the time. Because when y'all become professional athletes, I won't say nothing is off limits, but like as far as your game, everything can be criticized. Just like when we step in front of that camera and that red light come on, like anybody who watching us at home can criticize us, like, and we got to take it. And we deal with that a lot on social media. So my thing is, how do you deal? Well, I mean, you don't have a kid that plays sports right now, but how do you think you would deal with somebody talking about your child in the way that Stephen A. Smith did? Because honestly, when I saw his comments and him talking about Bronny and him basically saying like, Bron, like, stop holding on to this kid and let him grow up, let him be a man, like let him go play in the G League, travel, do what he got to do. But for you, do you even think you would ever approach a journalist like during a game, like to get your point across?
So me personally, I wouldn't do that. Right. But I'm not on the status level of LeBron James. He got a different set of rules that he lived by, which are above our comprehensive level.
Facts.
As in the point that he's at in his life and what he can do and what he can't do. So if I put myself in LeBron's shoes, I think I would do whatever I felt like doing in that exact moment, and that's what he felt like doing.
I think that's so whack though, bro. Like, all respect to LeBron James, like, I ain't coming on here hating on him. Yes, he is the GOAT, yeah, all that good stuff. Yeah, but yeah, it's still like, bro, like, all right, putting myself in Stephen A. Smith's shoes, like, I'm not a network journalist like him, but he does say a lot of crazy things sometimes, like, but that's his job. Like, you know, I kind of say, like, Stephen A. Smith is no longer, like, the journalist, like, we see each other, like I consider myself, like, he's an entertainer, because when you step on First Take, you're no longer giving journalistic opinions or, like,
statements. $100 million contract.
$800 million, $20 million plus a year, that's crazy, bro. Woo! Oh, my God. Like, just to buy some of that, let us get some of that pie. Like, dang, that's what I want. But, like, my thing is, like, he says a lot of opinions. So that's not really journalism. Like, that's entertainment. Like, First Take, they care about ratings. And you hear him talk about ratings all the time and him being number one and things like that. But my thing is, for LeBron to approach him in that setting during the basketball game and whatnot, what is Stephen A. Smith supposed to do? You get what I'm saying? Like, you coming up to me, I'm putting myself in Stephen A. Smith's shoes. You coming up to me, you saying all this stuff, like, blah, blah, blah. But what if I say something back, and then you step closer to me, and then we shove each other or something? All hell break loose. Who in the wrong? It ain't Bron. It's Stephen A. Smith. Then he got to come out and apologize. He gonna get suspended by ESPN. So I just thought that was, like, it was weak by Bron, bro, because, like, Stephen A. Smith did not cross that line. Like, you know, and Bronny is a pro. And if we're being real about it, like, how many second round picks, number 55 overall, get like $8 million guaranteed contracts and also get a chance to play in the first game, father, son, duo, all this stuff? Like, I don't know how Bron can't remove himself and be like, I am kind of showing a lot of favoritism to my son, especially when he tweeted out last year, like, Bronny better than half these dudes in the league is lightweight, hilarious. Like, you put this spotlight on him, and now you're mad that people are talking about it, I feel like.
Hey, look, bro, it's two sides.
Ah!
Really, it's three sides. We got media side, athlete side, and we really got the truth. So let's get as close to the truth as we want to get here, right now. All right, look, man, coming from a father's perspective, who is not going to big up their son as much as possible? You ain't going to do that?
I am.
Anytime your son is out there on that court, hey, my son, hey, he killing it right now. He gonna go out there.
Miles' grandfather, you feel?
I don't care if your son go up against him. He gonna dunk on your son. And I don't care what you're talking about. That's my son right there. So look, that's just the one of the dynamics of this. But another dynamic is when you said you put yourself in Stephen A's shoes. So one of the things I heard Stephen A. say a lot. Because he knows that he kind of has sort of a shaky relationship with some of these athletes sometimes because of some of the things that he says. You said it's mostly opinion, and I agree with that. You learned me something today. You said that real journalism isn't as much opinion as far as more like just reporting on what you see.
Yeah.
So you breaking that definition down to me learned me something today, but. Stephen A. always on his shows and everything goes out and says, look, I'm at all these games. If anybody has anything that they want to say to me, I'm right here on court side. You don't have to look far. Right. And LeBron, hey, he looked to his left. He took a double take.
He did.
There you go right there. I got something to say to this man. And guess what? He said what he had to say. So look, man, LeBron, when it comes down to it, the issue I think LeBron had with it is because Stephen A. talked about his integrity as a father. If anybody comes to you and they challenge your integrity as a father, you're going to have something negative to say about that. You're going to have some type of rebuttal about that. So I understand that his son is a NBA player now, so he's subject to any type of criticism, any type of critics that's out there. But Stephen A. went farther than that. Stephen A. said, LeBron, what are you doing? Like, as a father, you need to stop this. LeBron is a man that comes from a single parent home, didn't really have a father in the household, and is doing his very best to raise his children and got his child all the way to the league, man.
And he's doing a hell of a job. We will say he's doing a hell of a job.
Come on, man. He went to the G League and proved that, look, I belong amongst some of these players. Okay?
Does he really, though, Cole? Does he really?
Has he not been doing his thing a little bit in the G League?
He has been dropping some 20-point games, you know, getting close to some double doubles. He has, like, he
30
has
point games as well. He been putting up some buckets, so that usually earns you a little bit of time on the big leagues. Okay, it's a team. We got a game and we're blowing this team out. Go on in there, let's see what you got. You know, he came up and he wasn't quite ready for that opportunity yet, which a lot of G League stories aren't. So that's common. It's not uncommon. So for you to say, oh, this is all because you're LeBron, like, some of it has something to do with that. I will admit that. Some of it has something to do with that you're LeBron and this is your son and whatever you want, we're going to go along with it. But right. Also, the man earned a little bit of time in a big league. So come up and let's see what you can do.
Well, but when you say he earned some time in the big leagues, you got to go back to some of his performances in the big leagues on the sure. main court under the bright lights. And he was not good when he got out there. And even JJ Redick came out and said, well, maybe I put Bronny in some situations that, you know, he shouldn't have been in, you know, that he wasn't ready for. So it's like, that's what people are talking about. You can't come out and say your son's better than half the people in the league. And then when he gets out there in his first couple of games, he stinks it up. Now, granted, look, I know there's an adjustment period. Like, you can't judge a book by its cover off of the first couple of chapters. Like, you got to read the entire book. But as far as criticism and first take and podcast shows go, like, we'll see as we keep going. You talk about what's happening recently. Like, you don't talk about, like, the full, you know, full scale view of everything where it's like, all right, well, he did bad in game one, but he still got 81 more games left. Let's just give him some time. It's like, nah, we're talking about what we just saw. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like in the business that you're in the NFL, what can you do for me? Like, what have you done for me lately? Like, and I think that's just where I'm like, all right, look, I get Stephen A. Smith. Like, he has a lot of opinions. A lot of media members do. I won't even group Stephen A. Smith in the category by himself. Like, a lot of people have opinions, especially on social media now. But I think it's also like their job. One thing I don't agree with being a media member, it's how narratives get created. And I think that's something you'll speak on and like something y'all hate as athletes. But I see it all the time. Like the beat writers, the people who are there every practice, every game, every offseason event, blah, 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 blah. They run out of things to type, you know, and they have to type something 4 to 5 times, maybe more every single week. So they have to come up with storylines. And then it's like that one fan loves it. And then he picks it up and he shares it. Then boom, it just spirals down from there. So like, I can understand where y'all come from that. But I also think it's like a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to give criticism. We got to give takes. We got to give opinions. And I think sometimes, bro, athletes got really sensitive skin. Like, y'all been baby y'all hoes lives. Told y'all great, y'all the best at this. And then when y'all get to the pros and ain't playing as much or things ain't going as well or the media, you know, getting on you after a couple of bad games, now it's like, oh, I hate the media. They always doing this. And it's like, nah, bro, like, we show you love when you're doing good too, though.
Nah, definitely, definitely. But if we go back to LeBron, it's a completely different story. he been baby his whole life, but he been great. His whole life, he's been great his whole career. Facts. So when it comes to the Stephen A and LeBron relationship, it almost seems like it's always something. Like,
I will LeBron, agree with that.
LeBron can't get away with anything, which he hasn't been in any type of negative light. So it's not like he's trying to get away with anything. He's been doing everything the right way, seemingly, in a lot of people's eyes. So it's like, why are we always on his head? But then it's like, it's also, Stephen A does have a job to do. I agree with that. And you should do your job, definitely, to the highest of your abilities. But when you bring in LeBron, I'm asking you as a father, like, that's a different thing. He did this on his podcast. So that
he did. He did.
He did this knowing that, okay, I got a little more freedom in this space, and I really want to. I just want to talk my feelings out. I'm not going to, with the ESPN, you know, narrative. Platform narrative. I'm going with exactly what I think. And what he said was, LeBron, as a father, I'm begging you, stop doing this. Like, so now you're questioning this man's fatherhood, and I don't think that's right, man. Because I think LeBron is an upstanding citizen. One of the people that I personally look to as a father, as a role model, bro, because you're doing everything right, man. You pitch a perfect family.
Facts.
And how can I not really just side with LeBron on this when you're sticking up for your child, you're sticking up for your fatherhood, you're doing way better than you ever got to experience in your own life.
Right.
So that should be commended. That shouldn't be downplayed at all when it comes to his son, Bronny, and his relationship.
So you don't think Bron was in the wrong at all?
Look, nah. We can talk about how he handled it and at what time he handled it and how it went and what it looked like and what Stephen A. could have did in that moment. But it goes back to what I was saying, how Stephen A. tells these guys, look, man, hey, I'm at the games. Come talk to me. I pull up. Right. I come talk to you whenever.
Right.
This was the time LeBron chose to talk to him. LeBron doesn't have a great relationship with him already. Because of the things that I laid out about how Stephen A.
Has a lot of opinions and takes all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. He already doesn't have that type of relationship with Stephen A. So, man, this is the opportunity that I chose to take to say this to you. Now, look, you have the choice to wait till after the game if you want to say more. You don't have to react in that moment. You are still Stephen A. And you can say, hey, Matt, you know, Rich Paul, I want to get in contact with LeBron because this will happen. Let's talk a little more. You have the choice to go and do that. Right. But when I chose to do what I did, it was at the opportune time for me. Now, it may not have been an opportune time for you, but it was for me. So whatever you want to do further than that, you have to put that on wax yourself.
Right. I get it. I mean, look, we can keep going on and on about this. Like, I certainly get where you're coming from, and I totally get what you mean about LeBron, because he has been great his entire life, and he does face a lot of unsolicited feedback. And, like, me as a journalist, like, and a media member, I get annoyed with, like, First Take, Undisputed, like, all these talk shows, like, every summer, bro, as soon as LeBron's season over or the Lakers get eliminated from the playoffs, where is LeBron going? Who's going to play with the Lakers? Who's going to do it? It's like, bro, we don't have any other topics to talk about other than LeBron James all year long and the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, that drives me nuts. So, like, I understand where you're coming from. And I think that is part of the media's problems, like, and just grasping the low-hanging fruit. Like, they like, oh, LeBron go get views, he go get clicks, like the debates, you know, Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan. Like, it's just an easy topic. And I feel like, yeah, you know, teams need to dig a little deeper. So look, I understand where you're coming from, but I still think there's a time and a place to do that. And I think if you go approach a man like that, you go cuss him out low-key and stuff like that, then you should do it in a setting to where he can have a chance to respond. And not, because that, regardless, like you say, like, he said, you see me at the games, come talk to me. But we all know, like, if you in a dispute or an argument, during the game ain't the right time to do that. Because now you go become the main story on ESPN at night if y'all do start having an argument and going back and forth and his teammates holding him back and all that stuff. So I commend Stephen A. Smith for his patience and, you know, like, his willingness to not say anything and stand down. What I haven't appreciated, though, is how Stephen A. has been so dramatic about everything ever since. Like, going on this, like, press tour talking about, oh, LeBron said this. It's like, yeah, bro, move on. Like, yeah, you say so much stuff about players all the time. And I'm agreeing with you now. Like, you say so much stuff about players all the time, bro. Like, who cares if somebody, like, goes off on you? Like, it's the lay of the land. Like, that's what you get when you touch on certain topics. So I have not agreed with Stephen A. going on, like, his press tour and trying to defend himself. He went from basically saying, like, I wasn't going to respond to – I had to do this, and I wasn't even talking about, you know, Bronny. It was more LeBron. And then, you know, now he get on Gilbert Arenas' podcast, and he cursing, and he sounding more tough. And I'm just like, bro, like, get out of here, bro. Like, this is why some of the athletes don't rock with you. And I think local journalists and network journalists are a lot different. And I'll explain that for all our viewers, like, more podcasts. But I just think that, like, when it comes to a Stephen A. Smith and what he did, it's what they do on the national level. Like, you know, you see all those former athletes get on ESPN and start hating on y'all and things like that. Whereas I think us local journalists, we kind of like know what lines to toe. You know what I'm saying? And so I think when Stephen A. Smith and guys like him do things like that, I think it kind of tarnishes the relationship between athletes and journalists. And I think that's something we go get into right now. Like, why do you think athletes just always have this like preconceived notion about journalists and lump us all together as one? Like, that drives me nuts, bro.
I just feel like it's two opposite agendas at time. It's supposed to be the same agenda. We're supposed to be working together to promote the game and get more viewership to the game. That's what it's supposed to be at its base.
Right.
But it has turned into two different agendas. It's turned into, okay, I want to look this way in the media, but the media wants to say this thing about me. So guess what? I'm not going to talk to the media at all. I want to get this message out to the fans, but the media has a different message. So we're not going to get no message out at all. Right. So when it comes to a situation like that, it's just a rock and a hard place. It's a barrier up between athletes and media. When they come in that locker room, we don't know whether or not you have this hidden agenda where you want to, where you have ulterior motives and you want to put out these negative things to really bring yourself more notoriety, bring yourself more foot traffic on your page or your Instagram or whatever it is, and put us in a negative light. So it seems like to boost your brand, you have to sometimes knock down ours. And that's what kind of piss us against each other sometimes.
I really think, look, there is some truth in that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and cap. Like, there are some journalists that don't have the athlete's best interests at heart. They really don't care. Like, they're looking for that next viral moment. But I also think that's just the climate of our society in 2025. Like, everyone attaches towards negativity. I feel like the positive stuff, the uplifting stuff, like no one really cares about that. Like that doesn't gain as much traction on social media, like as the negative stuff. Like I feel like when the negative stuff happens, like the algorithms on social media just pick that up and it's running and it's viral. And then it's like media is the bad guy, but it's like, man, like I kind of just reported what you said. And then like, the social media users chose to spin it and take it a different way. And then y'all kind of looking at it sideways and stuff like that. Like, I think that's something that I've noticed. Like, say, for example, last year, I did not mean to put Aaron Jones in a negative spotlight like I did before the season. I thought I was having a harmless conversation with him about fantasy football, the upcoming season, and playing in a new offense. And I literally just asked him, what do you say to all these people, you know, like about hating on you about your fantasy football and this and that? Like, do you even care when people get mad at you, like when you don't have a big game? And he was like, bro, you know, sorry for all my, you know, people who drafted me before, but we going to the championship this year, draft me, blah, blah, blah. So I just posted that thinking it's funny, it's harmless, fantasy football about to start. Literally like went viral here in Minnesota. And like the comments on it, bro, crazy. Like, oh, he said this last year and he got hurt. Oh, he's never going to do this. And I'm like, dang, like, but see, that's not coming from me. Like, it was just, I had a harmless, funny, just, you know, interview. And I thought it was, you know, good stuff. But then people took it and ran with it and made it into a negative spin. And, you know, I'm sure he's like man enough not to look at those comments or to not care about that. But I think some athletes, and maybe you can speak on this, get too caught up in looking at the comments and the feedback and just not realizing that some of these dudes are like 50 years old living in their mom's basement. Like, who cares what they say?
Bro, do you think it's all on the athlete to not look at comments, or do you think it's kind of on the journalist a little bit to realize that what I'm printing right here could lead to maybe some negativity? Do you think it's just all on the athlete that, oh, you gotta be mentally strong and don't ever look at no comments?
That's a very fair question, Cole.
Yeah.
And that's a very fair question. That's a good question. No, we do have a job. And I think I toe that line very well. Like, I think when I ask a player a certain question, I kind of find it controversial, I may not run with it. You know what I'm saying? Or I may, like, if I think it's controversial, I'm going to make sure that if I'm printing it or I'm putting it in a package on television where it's like a minute 40 long, I'm going to make sure I explain whatever that player meant. And I think that's why a lot of the players that I interview, especially with the Vikings, they kind of respect me because they know I've been in their shoes before, former college athlete, didn't play at a high level like them, but I understand like the day-to-day grind, like, you know, like how you're not always on your game or, you know, something mentally maybe bothering you outside of the locker room and whatnot. So I think I do a good job at that, but I don't know if all journalists do. So that's a fair question. And to answer your question, I think it's 50-50. I think it should be on the journalist to be like, all right, let me make sure I'm not misquoting him or her or putting them in a negative spotlight. And I think it's also on the athlete to be like, let me make sure I'm being mindful of what I'm saying, and that I'm not giving them, you know, bulletin board material.
Definitely, bro. And that's kind of why I wanted to give you flowers earlier in this episode, because you don't just come in there. I know where you're coming from. I know who you are. I know what you've been through. We've grown up together through these experiences. And it's not just coming from I got a job to do, and whatever is said today, I'm going to make it work for my article, because I know I got to get this out.
Right.
I know that you coming from a place of, I've been there before. Mm-hmm. So that's a little different than what we getting on a regular basis, because most of these guys ain't never put on a cleat, ain't never laced up a basketball shoe, let alone dribble one. So that's why I definitely want to give you your flowers from the jump, man, and let you know that I feel like, at least, I haven't been in those locker rooms with you, but I've had conversations with you. I feel like you're doing it the right way.
I appreciate it. But I feel like I'm also doing it the right way, not only because I know, but because I got a best friend like you, a brother like you, where, like, you know, I'll text you like randomly, like, bro, is this illegal or is this legal? Like, tell me what the real rule is, like how NFL players see it. And I'll ask you before I jump on X and go make a comment or respond to a tweet or something like that. So, like, I feel like I do my homework sometimes, because sometimes I do be in a rush just to put out a thought or whatever, especially during the game. But I feel like I do a pretty good job of doing my homework. And like you said, knowing the game. And like, people ask me questions all the time. They'd be like, well, how do you like ask these questions? Like, how do you get these players to open up? And I'm like, one, you got to understand like down and distance situation, etc. Right. I'll never forget, bro. I was so pissed this happened. Like, I think it was my first or second year. It was my second year here covering the Vikings, and the Vikings kept getting beat on dagger concepts at the end of the game. Like, you know, just, you know, like seam and then a dig, like a deep dig coming in, and they were getting burned on it. So of course I know that concept. I played the game, stuff like that. So I bring it up to coach after the game. Coach, what is it about these dagger concepts at the end of the game where you guys just keep, you know, letting 15, 20 yard digs get open and get chunk plays and stuff like that? And it was so funny because when I did that, no other reporter had ever called out a concept like a scheme or, you know, a situation on a field like that. They normally just ask questions, like generic questions, like, what are you guys doing on that third and 10 and blah, blah, blah. So Coach O'Connell gave a really great answer about what it was. Coach Flores kind of explained to me why they're in those scenarios and stuff off camera. And then the next week at practice, I hear a reporter go, Coach O'Connell, on those dagger concepts, I'm like, bro, get out of here. Like, you have not played the game. Like, you do not know that. Like, and so, like, yes. So I get where you're coming from. Like, me knowing the game, that certainly helps and whatnot, and trying to do my homework. But I think that certainly benefits me. And I think what a lot of journalists don't get, and maybe you can speak on this in your locker rooms, like, how many times have like guys come up to you and just talk to you without a microphone and a camera? Because I think that's one thing that sets me apart. Like, when I go in the Vikings locker room, I don't go in the Timberwolves locker room a lot, but Vikings locker room is the one I'm in the most. But I feel like I have so many conversations with those dudes without a camera or a microphone. And they're telling me a lot of stuff that I'm not going back to report. But they know, like, look, we can have a conversation about ladies and what you did in college and blah, 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 like with your extracurricular activities. And you know, it's safe with me. It's not going anywhere. Like, I'm not going to go report that on the news. And I think that helps me out in the long run, like, you know, building that rapport with the players. So, like, how do journalists that you've come across in your time, like, how do they normally operate inside locker rooms?
Bro, you already know that this locker room setup is as awkward as it possibly can be.
Right.
Look, they bring the media members in there before and after practice. Usually this is a time where guys are in transition. Guys are either getting changed, they're getting taped up, they're getting stretched out, they're getting ready for practice, or they're coming down from a practice and they're right, getting ready to just decompress and shower and get ready to go on to the next thing that they're doing for that day. So it's already an awkward situation from the jump. In my experience, not many guys have came over to me and said, okay, off the record, or let's just have a conversation, or I respect your game, this, this, and that. Like, I watched you here and you've translated, or anything like that. It's more so guys, media members standing around in the locker room, looking over their shoulder, trying to see if, is the guy that I want here? No. He's hiding somewhere in the shower or something.
Hate that.
Trying to avoid you. And I'm here getting dressed and you're looking over your shoulder. I'm like, okay, buddy, like, what are we doing here? Like, what is this concept? How can we make it better?
Right.
It's never really a situation where these media members are really trying to build these relationships, at least with me personally. Mm-hmm. It's always, okay, tape recorder out. I got a few questions about this, this, and this. We talk for 10 minutes. One quote is used. So that's usually the setup. It's not convenient for either party, I think.
Right.
But it's just how we set up.
I'll counter. Must be two sides, right?
Of course.
I think it is convenient for us to be inside those locker rooms. Like, look, I understand totally what you're coming from. Like, especially being in a former locker room with you, like, it's a little awkward. Like, and I will say that being a former athlete that used to get dressed and changed in front of 85 other grown men, like, it is awkward when you go in there after a game, you see a dude butt naked, you're like, I ain't trying to see all that. Like, you know, like, and as they say, there are some journalists, I can't verify this or not, but they say there are meat watchers, and you know, like, I'm not that guy, but I do say there are people like that, journalists like that in the locker room and things like that. But I feel like practice time is where you build that rapport with somebody, and you got to be in the locker room, because we only get to see our practice for 15 minutes, and that's stretching, special teams drill, and maybe one individual period. And then we only see you on game day after a game. And like you just said, you're coming off the field. We got 10 or 15 minutes before we get inside that locker room, and y'all trying to decompress after a bad, you know, bad play, good game, whatever the case may be. But we coming in there bombarding you, asking you questions and whatnot. So I can understand where you're coming from. But I also feel like if we don't build that rapport with you at practice in that locker room, like, then we don't have an opportunity to really get to find out the non-athlete side of you, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, for me, I know you. You're like, I can call you, we can talk about whatever. But I feel like with the athletes that we cover here, it's such a fine line. Like, well, I can't do a story on you about your, you know, your work and giving back and all that stuff, because I don't know what you're doing. Like, you're not telling me that. Like, your publicist isn't telling me. So it's like, I gotta be in that locker room to build that rapport. But like you said, there are other reporters in there that really don't care about building a rapport, and they like, What you got to say for me today? And I can admit that is a little awkward, and especially when y'all get asked the same questions over and over, like, by a different media member. I've seen it happen, so I understand it could be a little redundant. And then y'all know, y'all get coached up not to give us like bulletin board material and like keep it cliche. And I will say, the difference between NFL players and NBA players, and even MLB athletes for that matter, NFL players, bro, stick to the script so much. I don't know what these PR people tell y'all before y'all talk to us or something like that. But I feel like you never get an NFL player like going off the wall and just like, man, forget this, blah, 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 blah. Whereas in the NBA, you know, you get a little bit more ego when you talk to those guys, like an Anthony Edwards or something like that. But man, y'all be.
You want me to tell you what it is?
What is it?
Guaranteed contract. Hey, look here, man. Hey. When that money guaranteed, you can say whatever you want.
Because you know you still go get it at the end of the day.
You know that check is clearing. It's clearing every time. But we in this locker room on pins and needles. I might be going tomorrow, bro. I can't say nothing to y'all. Look, coach told me, keep it in these lines. And if you get out of these lines, I can't promise you that you're going to be here tomorrow. So that's what it is, bro. Like, how am I supposed to? I already got this guard up because I heard these horror stories of how y'all took this person's words and twisted them, and y'all took this person's words and twisted them. And then I got coach in the back of my head too, talking about, hey, don't give out this, don't say this, don't, hey, you better not say that. Otherwise, look, man, you are expendable. And the next person, I know he ain't gonna say nothing because he a rookie, and he gonna listen to whatever the hell I'm talking about.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because Ivan Pace Jr., this linebacker for the Vikings, he was a second-year player this past year. And before the first game against the Giants, a reporter asked him. I wasn't even there for that interview that day. But he asked him about the Giants. And he was like, we ain't worried about the Giants. Like, you know, we good over here. We got some dogs, blah, 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 blah. And it went viral. Like, it literally went everywhere. All the social media companies, like, picked it up here.
Don't go viral every time. Don't make that mistake.
So the next week, we come in the locker room, first Wednesday, you know, Wednesday, first Wednesday of the week, first practice. He come in. I'm the first one there. Yo, Ivan, I need you. Like, let me try to. Soon as I pull him off to the side, he like, I'm like, bro, you know how I am. Like, I'm not gonna paint you in a negative spot. Like, you know, I'm a total line. I'm gonna be respectful. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I put the camera and the microphone in his face, all his teammates came up. Don't say nothing dumb today, Ivan. Like, Ivan, watch your mouth. Like, don't be getting. I'm just like, dang. Like, y'all really be on it in the league, bro. Like,
we had a similar situation, bro. In Pittsburgh, our our special teams, like before the season, this was OTAs. Our special teams coordinator was having a meeting. He was talking about the new kickoff rules and everything like that. And he was basically just joking around. He was just like,
"Oh, I know where you're going.
Everything's new. Like we got this person back there. We got this person back there. Hell, we might even put Justin Fields back there." And most people in the room took it as a joke, like, okay, yeah, we being funny, blah blah. But our running back Jaylen Warren goes and tells a reporter that, oh yeah, these new kickoff rules are crazy. Our coach is even talking about putting Justin Fields back there, and it became this huge thing, bro. And everybody got on him, like, bro, are you serious? Like, why are you pulling things from the meeting that you know that shouldn't be going out? Like, everybody knows this shouldn't be said after we leave here. Like, this is just like, he's not gonna go back there and play kickoff return. Like, we know that. So why are you going and doing this? And Mike Tomlin made a big deal about it, and everybody laughed at him, everybody joked at him. But I'm sure in the back of his head, his next interaction with the media is, okay, look, I last time I talked to the media, I said something crazy, so let me make sure I'm on my P's and Q's this time. So like, obviously it's going to be that type of situation when we talk to y'all. Like, we're not finna give out all our information because it's not going to benefit us in any way.
So my question for you then, it's kind of like we talked about earlier, must be two sides to every story. How do you guys realize, like, we're there to give you a bigger platform? One, you guys have a huge platform already, but it's like still being the local news media, putting you guys out there, having national networks come in and cover you all. How do we get both sides to realize, like, I'm here for you, and just as much as, like, you can capitalize off the platform that we're giving you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how many times I've told you over the years, not just with media members, but network with your teammates, network with your coaches, your front office members. Like, it's all about who you know. Like, take advantage of the situation and the contacts you got. So when you're done playing, when you're done playing ball, you know, you got another avenue to go towards. And that's what I'd be saying. Like, you know, a lot of professional athletes are now journalists now. Well, not journalists, but I would say entertainers or analysts and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, work in the media. And so, like, at you now, year 10, going into year 11, like, do you see where I'm kind of coming from, where it's like, y'all should be using us to your advantage, like stepping in front of that camera as much as possible, asking questions. So when the ball go flat one day, you like, I got another seven figure check waiting on me. Like, as soon as I get done playing.
No, I 100% understand where you're coming from with that. And that's kind of part of the reason why we're sitting here today. I'm trying to use this camera to my benefit.
Right.
But I think that it's just been such a long history of these horror stories, as I like to call it, of guys wanting to say whatever they want, guys wanting to open up their personality, and just receiving such negative backlash. It's not always the media members' fault. It's like you said, it's a lot to do with social media. It's a lot to do with those people in their mom's basements, that faceless, no name,
literally.
Just comment whatever they want to and with no type of repercussions. So a lot of it is that, but that could really get into an athlete's psyche. That could really get into the athlete's back of their head and not only affect how they interact with the media, but definitely affect how they even the product that they show on the field or the court. And it's unfortunate that some of these guys are a little not as mentally tough as they should be. But you have to be trained. You, like, that's something that's learned. It's not something that you're automatically born with. And a lot of guys, NBA, NFL, MLB, whatever league that they're in, especially the NFL, has come up hard. Has come up, and they made it through a lot of stuff. They didn't just. It hasn't been an easy road. Right. So media training. Okay, you can use the media this way. Nobody ever told him that. Even like the very minimal media training that you get as a rookie in the NFL, man, these guys, a lot of this stuff is going in one ear and out the other. Because look, I'm just trying to make the team. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm gonna do with this money I just got. I'm just trying to figure out, oh, it's a few extra females in my DMs. What am I gonna do with this? So
you don't even care about the media training you get.
The media training is anyone. Okay, I got to talk to him. Whatever. Coach told me don't say this. I'm good. But
oh my God,
there is never a there is a very slight. Okay, you can use the media for your benefit. But after rookie year and that 1 hour session that you probably had during the OTAs,
right?
You don't hear about it again. So it's like these guys aren't being trained. These guys aren't being taught. So how are they going to learn these things? And then when we get into a setting where we're actually interacting with the media, we see what kind of things go on as far as, wait a minute, that's not the actual quote that I said. It's right. You twisted it a little bit. And now they're trying to come on me. They're trying to come at me
right
in a negative way. So how do I navigate that?
That makes sense. It's 2 points. I wanted to bring up, like, I don't know if you saw this viral clip that's been going around social media. I don't know the guy's name, but for Kansas State, he was like distraught after losing in the Big 12 conference tournament just the other day, I think yesterday. And he was basically saying, like, man, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like, I let all the NIL comments and like all the backlash get to me, and it got in my head. And I wish I could have just gone back in time and blocked all of that out and just went and played my game. And I felt like I didn't do a good job in the tournament, you know, because like I let all the naysayers and doubters get to me. It goes to what you said, like you got to be mentally tough. And I also think sometimes media members do catch y'all when you guys are very vulnerable. Like Dallas Turner, for instance, I'll never forget, like, you know, he played at Alabama. They lost to Michigan. And I'll never forget, like, you know, I'm a Bama fan. So like after the game, I got a quote as soon as that game ended. And it was like, Dallas Turner declares for the NFL. And his quote was, are you like the reporter's like, are you coming back next year? He was like, I'm out of here. Like, and it was like, it made it seem like he was pissed and like didn't care about Bama. So like, I'm talking to him about that off camera. And I was like, bro, what was it about that comment, you know, that went viral like after the game? I said, cause I'm pretty sure like you didn't mean it like that. He was like, bro, that was the first time ever where we had media in the locker room immediately following the game. He was like, all season long, you know, like, couple players go to the media, like after your 30 minutes, you cool down everything. He was like, we had never been trained on like journalists coming in immediately after the game and like asking us a question. He was like, so that never happened. He was like, so I was frustrated. Like, you know, so I just gave him an answer, but it's like, of course, that's not how I felt about Bama and Saban and everything. And I was like, I already know, bro. Like, you know, like you ain't got to explain to me. So there are some very vulnerable situations that you guys get put in. I want to ask you this though. What are like the guidelines for professional athletes? Like, because for us, like producers, news directors, managers, like they be like, I want you to talk to this player and I want you to ask them that. And I'd be like, that's not how that go. Like I'm going to get who I get that day. And whatever we end up talking about is what story you're going to get. Like, I'm not going to force in a story unless it's like a big storyline. Like you just signed a new player, competition battle. Of course we go talk to you about it. But like, I guess for you guys, like, do you get fined if you don't talk to media? Or like, because I know you used to be the slowest person to get ready after games at Carbondale. You used to be the last one in the locker room all the time. But I'm pretty sure now you be getting out the locker room before media members come in, don't you?
No, I take my time. I still take my time, brother. They're not finna speed up my process.
So do you guys like, do you ever turn down media members? And if you turn down media members for an interview, or not you, for instance, because I know you're probably not getting bombarded a lot, but like, say, for instance, you played this past year with Russ Wilson, George Pickens, things like that. What happens to you guys when you decline an interview?
Basically, you can decline an interview, but you can't consistently do it. Like, if it's a point like where, like the situation you just brought up where, okay, it's a lot of emotions going on, and at this point in time, I don't think I can talk. Okay, fine, that's good, but we're gonna get you on Monday. Oh, you can't talk on Monday? Fine, that's okay. We can deal with it. But Tuesday coming, and we're gonna talk to you. Now, if you steady ducking us, now the NFL gets involved. Now there's reports about this player is hiding in the locker room. This player is refusing media. now there's fines and whatever else comes with that.
How much do you guys get fined for that?
That works.
Does it vary from different team, or is it a set amount for all NFL players?
No, I think it's an NFL mandate. I'm not exactly sure how much it is because I never got fined for that. I could probably tell you some other fines, but I'm sure it's around probably the 6,000 range. I think 6,000 is the base fine that they use for most things. And it's unfortunate they kind of look for any opportunity to take some money out of our pockets.
They be taking y'all, and it's not a little amount of money, boy. They be robbing y'all, boy. Whole game checks. What do you think about Marshawn Lynch and how he used to approach media and going up there and just giving one word answers? Like, I'm good. Thanks for asking. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Obviously, it's benefited him in the long run. Like, he's in movies now. He has like short, like his own podcast, YouTube shorts, all this stuff like that. So, like, do you think Marshawn Lynch is just like a rarity in that situation? Or do you think more people should be like a Marshawn Lynch and show their true character if they don't want to talk to media and go up there and say, I don't want to talk to y'all right now? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or do you think he could only do that because he was Marshawn Lynch?
I think Marshawn Lynch was a special case. He was able to do that because he was the first one doing that. And anybody that tries to emulate that is, oh, this guy's just trying to copy off Marshawn Lynch, and he's just trying to be stubborn. Like, he's not really, like, Marshawn Lynch can do that because he was balling on the field.
Right.
That's first and foremost. So you get a little more leeway. And secondly, he had a great personality that clicked with anybody. Right. Even though he didn't want to talk to the media, everybody in that locker room knew who Marshawn Lynch was and what he brought to the table, and they loved him for that. So you're going to get a little more leeway to that. And the outside world, as far as sponsors, endorsements, and all that, they're going to end up being able to see that as well, coming down the pipe. So
right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I feel like we can keep going on and on, but we got to wrap up this first episode. We're just giving the viewers now just a snippet of the things we're going to be discussing. We're not going to be talking about Stephen A. Smith and LeBron every single week. We're going to be touching on everything, like from fashion to trending topics to like two sides of everything, pretty much, like the truth. Like, we go get down to the bottom of everything. And I feel like this is just like the beginning of what we're gonna bring you guys. We're gonna have guests, we're gonna have players on, and we're really gonna get down to the nitty-gritty, like, why do media and pro athletes not like each other? And we're gonna try and come to a common ground about this. And we're also gonna have fun conversations where it's like you said, we go agree on some stuff, but it's also gonna be like, nah, y'all tripping, bro. Like, y'all just acting like some babies, some spoiled prima donna babies who are already rich. And then you can shoot me straight, you know. But I feel like it's gonna be a fun podcast, bro.
Definitely, man. A lot of fun ahead, and I'm super excited, bro. We getting down to the nitty-gritty, and we really digging in, man. It's gonna be the game, it's gonna be the story, and it's gonna be the truth, brother. That's all it's gonna be, man. And I appreciate y'all so much for joining us on this first episode, and keep tuning in. It's gonna keep getting better and better.
Absolutely. So make sure you comment on this, you like, subscribe, follow our YouTube page, follow us on all our social medias, Must Be Two Sides and whatnot. Tell us what you want to see, what you want us to do better. Tell us what you want us to talk about, anything. We go make sure we dive into all of that. So we appreciate y'all tuning in for the first episode. Plenty more to come. We're going to make sure we're dishing out multiple episodes in a week coming up here shortly. But right now we're just getting our feet wet, trying to do things that we've always dreamed about, you know, two brothers making it happen from St. Louis. So, yeah.
Let's get it, baby.
All right, man. We'll see y'all for episode 2. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. It Must Be Two Sides.
Yes, sir.
All right.